Everybody out this morning. It's a beautiful day outside. Yeah, you know, I got in the car this morning and my car says 43 degrees. When I got in the car, it was just overcast. By the time Virginia got in the car, it was raining. And so, you know, drove through here in the rain. And how many of us this morning, as we got to see the rain and just thought, God, thank you for such a beautiful day. How many of us did that? You know, and I will announce to you, normally that's not my reaction. When it's cloudy outside and I think the sunshine is much brighter and much prettier to look at. And I like warm weather. I like being able to feel my toes and things like that. You just kind of look at life. But how is it that we can interpret the same day in different ways? Our main thing about this in a sense of your family. Maybe you have young children. And you can look at it in a sense of, you know, young children, things are never picked up. If you get to the living room straight, just give them 30 minutes and it'll be messed up again. If you get all the dishes washed, they'll get them dirty again. All the clothes that you wash, they'll get dirty again. And if you look at it like that, like, why'd I try? You know, and just how much energy that children take. Or you can look at it from a point of view of how thankful you are to have your children. In the sense that the pitter-patter little feet of having chuckles, of being able to be silly with them, of the hugs and kisses and things along that lines. And you know, it just kind of depends how we interpret things a lot of times. The same events, and people can interpret different ways. We see that in our country. And some can look at our country, and despite the prosperity that we have, some people look at all the bad things of it. Others look at it from the point of view of some of the prosperity that we enjoy. The fact that we live a life that most of the world around us will love to have. Our problems to them are really minor. And so we want to talk this morning about being thankful. And basically the lesson title is Ingredients Are Requires Being Thankful. And as our song said, talked about, the idea of blessings that we receive. So we want to talk about this, and I thought about requirements being thankful. I realized this morning that you could read that title and think about what God requires of us, what God says that we need to do to be thankful, and things along that lines. But that really isn't the idea of this lesson. And that is that what it takes on our part to be thankful, or the being of understanding how blessed we are. And the first one is pretty obvious, so the recognition. And that we have to realize things. And the fact is, we have to be aware of what's going on. Now, a lot of people are too busy to actually think and recognize things around them going on. I will admit that when I'm driving, I tend to be a tunnel driver. And that is, the road has my focus. The cars around me have my focus. The traffic, everything around me in that car has my focus. Now, Regina can talk about, you see that house over here, or you see the, maybe something else, or the landscape. And a lot of times I realize, I really know I didn't see it. And, you know, there has to be a balance there between being focused so totally on the road and not noticing anything versus being totally focused on the external things, not paying attention to driving. But we're not careful, we can see a so tunnel vision on our lives of trying to accomplish things, or trying to work things out, that we tend to not see the big picture of things. And really that's required in our lives, much like whenever you look at the foolish farmer, as described in Luke 12 chapter. And this is a passage well known to all of us here. In Luke 12 chapter, Jesus teaching, and somebody in verse 15 says, "Tell my brother to divide inheritance with me." And Jesus talks about, beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in abundance of things he possesses. But then he goes ahead and starts talking about this foolish farmer as an illustration of what he means. And as you read that passage there in verse 17, and Luke 12, he thought within himself, well, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I'll do this, I'll pull down the barns and build greater, and there I'll store up all my goods." Now, the thing about what this guy is doing is, this guy is looking the long-term future, that he's industrious, he's hardworking, but what he decides to do is what? He decides he has to tear down his barns and build bigger barns. And as liberalized, I think we have to realize that we all have different barns that we're not careful, that we tear down because we want more. And we want bigger. And not necessarily, obviously, literally the idea of barns, but things that we want to accomplish, things we want to have. Maybe it is the idea of more money, maybe it's a bigger house, maybe it is some type of recreation, maybe it's education that we want. And so we focus totally on that. And of course, the problem wasn't the idea of really bigger barns. That wasn't really the problem. And the problem as you go on through the parable is that this guy here, that being busy is okay. Being busy is okay, but it could be a problem if you get too busy really taking care of the important things. I always remember in an accounting class that the instructor was saying, the professor was talking about our accounting and paying your bills, things along that lines. And he made at some point, he said, now keep in mind, your company does not exist to pay bills. You have to pay bills to keep on doing your work, but he said, that's not why your company exists. Your company exists so as to make money, to make a profit somewhere. You have to keep in mind what is immediate versus what's really important. And so it is in our lives. A lot of times we have things that are immediate that we think that we're busy doing, but that may not necessarily be the important things in life. This man here, the foolish farmer, was busy. However, what had he neglected? What had he not taken care of? Well, verse 19, he says, and I'll say to my soul, so you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. The only consideration he had given for his soul was sometime later on. Sometime later on, you know, the proverbial, when I get around to it. Whenever I have time, extra time, then I'll do this here. So he says, go on. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul be required of you. Then his will those things be what you have provided. And also the problem with this guy here wasn't the fact that he had tore down his barns, built bigger barns. The problem was that this man really was unaware of the value of his soul and unaware of the temporary nature of his soul. And this morning in our Bible class that was talking about the things people worry about, people emphasize in life here. And a lot of times that we worry about things that will never happen, or we put emphasis on things that are very temporary in life. And the fact is that our soul is the one thing that really is very temporary and will pass away as far as this life here. Our soul is eternal, but this life is temporary. I remember the song, As the Life of Flowers. And the first time I really paid attention to that song was actually at a funeral of a loved one. And the words of that song there, as life of flower, as a breath or a sigh, and he goes ahead and says, and you know, the kind of the key words here, and at last we must die. That is the thing that is permanent. Our soul. This man had no consideration about it, so he had no recognition of it here, basically in this parable. And there's a lot of things that people tend to be unaware about. Now, a lot of people in the world around us, that one thing they really were unaware about is God. Now, I say that because a lot of people, if you ask them, does God exist? Probably over 85% of people say, yes, I believe in God. However, they don't really think about what that means. They're unaware about the fact that God's existence, God is seeing everything they do. That God is there no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, God is aware of it. Of God's great power that he has to provide us what we need. Of the fact that one day we're going to stand before God in judgment. A lot of our world has really taken God, the whole idea of God, and put him inside this little tiny box here, and that's where he stays, but it doesn't mean anything as far as how I'll live my life. Well, you have that psalm we had read for a few minutes ago, Psalm 14, which is really kind of another psalm, I think, Psalm 51, 53, go look it up. But again, if you look at Psalm 14, verse 1, and there it says, the Psalm of David, the fool said in his heart, there is no God. They did not consider the fact that God existed. Now, fool here doesn't mean they're stupid or they're irrational. What it means is they don't recognize God. They're foolish, morally speaking. And so they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There's none that does good. The Lord looks down in heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand and seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none that does good, no one, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who would eat of my people as eat bread, who do not call on the Lord? They are in great fear, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You shame the counsel of the poor, but God is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. When the Lord brings back the captive people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Again, what he talks about here is the idea of recognize this, that God can be their great comfort to those who are righteous. And despite the bad things that happen to them, they can take comfort in God. Versus the world around us who never considers God, doesn't think about it at all. The humanists, the atheists, what do they have to hold on to? What is permanent in our lives? Nothing. Nothing really can comfort them when things go bad. And so we need to be aware of the fact that God exists. We need to be aware of the fact that one sins and forgiveness of sins. Again, to some people, the idea of sin is repugnant. The idea that I am doing something wrong because I like doing it, or that somebody has a moral judgment upon me, whether it's God or anybody else, to them is so repugnant. How dare you say I am wrong? But then we have to realize the Bible talks about sin. You know, the Psalm again, 14, verse 3, they have all turned aside, they have become, together become corrupt. There's none who does good, no, not one. That they are just involved in all these sins there, and they don't turn away from them because one is that there's no God to judge them in their minds. And so we think about sin. The Bible says it exists, but the New Testament, kind of the equivalent of this, is Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Each one of us have done that. And the idea that we have the forgiveness of sins made available to us, we need to recognize that is available to us. That when I do something wrong, there is a way of receiving redemption from God. And then a third thing here is of God's love for us. And that is a lot of times, we're kind of like children. Now, let me rephrase that. We sometimes are like children. And that is, you take a child, and I remember growing up, a child as they grew up, and maybe their parents have a car and have a house, and what we say, somebody asks about where we live, and say, well, that's our house. Or we have a car drive in, and we say, well, that's our car. And the only time we use the word mine is when I'm talking about my toys. Or my clothes. Then it's mine. But everything else, the food on the table, that's our food, you know. And we really don't think about the fact that there comes a point in life where a child, as a mature and as it grows, start to realize that house isn't really our house. That's my parents' house. They let me live there. That car isn't really my car. They may let me drive it, but that's really not my car. That food is being provided for me. Why are they doing that? Why do parents put food on the table? Why do they give their children a room to stay in, clothes to wear? Why do we take them to the doctor? Why do we do all these things that require time, energy, and money? And the reason is because you love your children. And the same thing with God. And so we need to come to that point in life, we recognize God loves us. That passage there in John 3:16, well-known passage quoted many times, most looked up first on the internet year after year. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. When you talk about that verse, read that verse, but what does that mean? It means this is the death of God's love. They gave his only begotten Son for us. And therefore, we need to be cognizant of that fact. We need to be recognize the greatness of God's love for us. And as we go on then, we see, okay, the recognition of being. And then we go on to the second part, recognition of blessings. In particular, exactly. And that is, if I would ask you, what are blessings? I make a different answer to different people. And that is, it kind of, again, it kind of depends where you come from, right? If you talk to the atheist, a blessing may be the fact that they are intellectually superior. It may be the fact they always have enough food to drink, enough food to eat, enough, you know, beverages to drink, whatever it is they live their life with. That may be their idea of blessing. That Christian blessings are different. And that's one thing Jesus talks about here in Sermon on the Mount, is the fact of blessings being different for us. And that is blessings, by definition, will be good things we have received from God to be favored. Maybe our definition here of blessings. And as you look at that, you have to keep in mind, though, that blessings are often connected with this idea of characteristics. And that is the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 3 through 10. When we studied that, what I was looking at was these characteristics. And it talks about the idea of being poor in spirit, of mourning, of being meek, of hunger and thirsting, of being merciful, of being peacemakers, and being persecuted. And you read those blessings, we realize, okay, those characteristics, the blessings then are spiritual in nature. Not necessarily physical, because I remember one time reading through some of this here, and somebody said, how is it a blessing actually to be persecuted? How is that a blessing? How is it a good thing to be poor? Question they're asking me. And materially, no. Not necessarily a blessing, is it? But spiritually, yes. And so we were thinking about blessings. Keep in mind, they are spiritual in nature. The big blessing, the ones we will underline, said, this is the greater blessing, our spiritual blessings. And that can you can be kind of different, because blessings are not always what we would call comfortable. Blessings are not always easy to accept. Let me give you a song. And the song is called Blessings. And here's some of the words of the song. I should have put it on chart, but I didn't, but here's some of the words of the song. It says, we pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. All the while you hear each spoken need. Your love is way too much to give us lesser things. Okay, now you just kind of read that first line there, that first stanza there. And those are things we don't pray for, right? We pray for things like protection and comfort for our family, and healing and prosperity. Yeah, those things are good. But then it goes on. It says, cause while your blessings come through raindrops, while your healing comes through tears, while a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near, what trials of life are your mercies in disguise? And those things that we have to endure, those things we normally look at and think, those are not necessarily good things, but he said, those are things that may be what? Mercies in disguise. And he goes on and said, we pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise and word is not enough. All the while you hear each desperate plea, and long that we have faith to believe. When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know that pain reminds this heart that this is not our home. One of my greatest disappointments, or the aching of this life, is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy. Why trials this life? The rain, the storms, the hardest nights are your mercies in disguise. And that is, there are things in life that we look at that we have to realize that our blessing may be in the sense of challenges that we have and that we have in this life here. The things are kind of hard to endure. Let me go back at this point here. And so these are things that may not be comfortable to us here. And if you think about it, the blessings can be challenges that we have in life. And let me get this here. There we are. That's what I want to be. Our challenges in life. And for instance, and I used the illustration earlier about the caterpillar in the cocoon, or the caterpillar goes in the cocoon and comes out butterfly. And the fact is that if you open up that cocoon without the caterpillar, the butterfly actually having to struggle to get out, that butterfly never fly. Because only through the effort of getting out does it develop the strength in its wings to fly. And therefore, our lives can be that way. It can be our challenges. And we may think, our challenges is things like the opportunity to help people. Now, if I may ask, is that a blessing? We may say yes. But what if it's not necessarily convenient? Because a lot of times helping people do not come at convenient times. It may be in the middle of the night. It may be when we are busy. And therefore, it may require some sacrifice in our life. And we may think, why do I have this burden to have to take care of this? But Jesus says, those are blessings. Acts 20, verse 34. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands provide for my necessities for those who are with me. Talking about Paul, Williams, at Ephesus. I've shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Okay, that's a blessing. And so just look at that. Again, that's a blessing you have. It may be the case of people you get to share time with. You know, I have to appear things like family. We're going into Thanksgiving and we'll have a group together. Our families get together and we think, that's great, isn't it? Or we may think about our friends, our church family. But again, what if that's not always convenient? What if that's not always easy? What if, for instance, you have a child that was like David McPherson's grandson, Luke, that was born with a very rare disease. And that at an early age, they knew that he would not live to be past 20 years of age. And you have to take care of that child. Or what about a family that Regina and I knew out in Arkansas? Harold and Eva Allen. They had a baby girl and she went and got her immunization shots and she had a bad batch. And it really hurt her brain. And they told her that she would not live to be maybe 12, 13, 14 years of age. And they told her to take her home or to put her in a nursing home, do something like that, and go ahead and live their lives. And what they did is they took Vicky home. And they took care of her. And when we met them, Vicky was in her 40s. Now keep in mind, she wasn't supposed to live past, you know, teenage years again. But all those years, Harold and Edith never got to go to services at the same time together. That one had to stay with Vicky at all time. For 40 years they did that. And if you had asked them whether Vicky was a blessing or a curse, you know what they would have said. She was a blessing. She was a blessing. And those are things sometimes hard to deal with. But look at it from that point of view. How we deal with things as far in our lives. The challenge of getting out of sin. It's not always easy. To repent. It's not always easy. To change one's life. It's not always easy to do that. To turn away from sin. Again, it's not always easy. But that's a blessing that we have that opportunity. The blessing of learning to walk. Our grandchildren, you know, we got in that stage now. Our grandchildren are always cute and they're adorable and things like that. And Luke is getting that point of learning to walk, but and so watching and thinking, you know, that is very frustrating. That has to be very frustrating because they had to figure out how to get their balance. They had to figure out how those feet exactly walk, you know, move in the right way. And they get it wrong, what happens? They fall down. And falling down doesn't really feel good, even for a little baby. You get hit their head, doesn't feel good. And I think about that has to be really frustrating. Good thing we don't remember it as we grow up. We don't remember. Do you remember when you learned how to walk? No. Okay, but we have to learn how to do that. Well, think about that as a Christian. And that as a Christian, we are told to walk as children of God. And Colossians 1 verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you, and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. They may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. And really the walk is described in the idea of what's right afterward, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. That's not always easy. If it was easy, Paul wouldn't be praying for them on his behalf. Paul wouldn't be telling them, this is what you got to learn how to do. And as you go through other passages, talk about this. In Ephesians 5 verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you're a light of the world. Walk as children of light. That's not always easy, because it's easier to walk in darkness. It's easier to walk the rest of the way everybody else is walking. Or maybe Ephesians 5 verse 15. See that you walk circumspectly. And that basically means being aware, being careful. Not as fools, but as wise. Pay attention where your footsteps are going. Pay attention to how you're living your life. I always remember Eli whenever, one time we brought him back to the farm. Of course, they grew up in Arkansas. Not on the farm. And Regina, I think, took him out to the cow pasture out there. And Eli realized that what's out in the cow pasture? Cow patties. And you want to avoid those. And so he was tiptoeing around all of that, you know, to avoid all those things. Well, you know, we need to be avoiding things in life. We need to be careful how we walk. What he's saying here. So these are things, the challenge to think of others first. That's not always easy, because we tend to want to put ourselves first in life. But the Bible says, here's what you got to do. You got to think about others. In Philippians 2 verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each one of you not only look out for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. I will say this. Now, I realize there are times brethren divide over issues that are fundamental in the Bible, but a lot of times when people have trouble with one another, it is over me first. That's what happens. And so we need to be careful. We need to make sure we're walking in the right way. And then also, then a kind of going full circle with this, we need to think about the source of our blessings then. And that is, who provides all these things? In James 1 verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. And so he's saying God blesses greatly in life. And some we had, you know, sung just a few minutes ago. And it's a very good point there, and that is, count your blessings, name them one by one. You think about how hard that really is to count your blessings and start actually enumerating your blessings. Start with a list. If I want to ask you, list your top 10. Okay, list your top 10 blessings. And then I would say, okay, you have your top 10. What would be your next 10? What would be your top 20? And then top 30. And just keep on going down until you run out of blessings. You realize how hard that would literally be? And a lot of things we may consider be big blessings when the big scheme of things are really not the big blessings that after all. It's the things that we may overlook sometimes. And so we just have to think about it. God has blessed us so abundantly in this life. And not only that, but also blessings come in disguises. As that song says. The blessing sometimes of having to take care of somebody else. The blessing of having to endure something. I could put myself in the category, maybe the Apostle Paul somewhat, in the sense of anybody that has any kind of a degenerative illness or some kind of prolonged illness, a chronic illness, you know what Paul's talking about. And that is, as Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 10. As you go there, turn, read that with me. He said, unless I should be exalted by measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn of flesh is given me, and messenger of Satan buffed me, lest I be exalted above measure. No idea what thorn in the flesh is. Was it Paul's eyesight? Possibly, don't know. Was it some other type of ailment Paul had? Was it a physical ailment? It was maybe something not even physical in nature. We don't know. But he said this was given so as what above him to make him make things hard on Paul. Make him doubt God. Maybe make him blame God for what was going on. And all those things can happen. But he goes on and says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that I might depart from him. And that is, okay, let's take the God of prayer. We have something that happens to us, what we're told to do. Take the God of prayer, right? Okay, so that's what Paul does. And he said to me, here's God's answer to him. My grace is sufficient for you, For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And that is, the answer was, Paul, what you have, you can overcome it. It's okay. I'm going to help you. But I'm not taking it away. It's going to be there. And therefore, here's Paul's response. Therefore, most gladly I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And Paul's attitude was what? Okay, if God's going to help me through this, that's all right. It's almost like bring it on. And so that's how we have to get it. Sometimes our blessing comes to disguises. There are many things we pray for. The answer may be no, but that's because, you know, the blessing is a disguise there. And then also, God's blessings with things in particular. Now, this is just kind of the end of the lesson as far as what will we list here. Maybe the top, I think I put down actually 7 here. But what would be number 1? Well, one thing we can say is His Son. The very fact that we have a Savior, the very fact that God cared enough for us that He sent His Son to die on the cross, that He was willing to make that sacrifice on the cross for us that we read about. The fact that He gave us the example to follow after, all those things there would be on that list. And what if God hadn't done that? We'd be lost. And therefore we need, you know, that's one there of the gospel of Christ. As Paul said in Romans 1 verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but the power of God's salvation, for everyone who believes, for Jew first, also for the Gentile. That we have the message delivered to us in a way that we can read it, understand it, we can comprehend it, and we can do it. The gospel itself is a blessing. We may then say His patience. His patience. Now, I made a mention, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, about growing up, I thought my dad was really, a hard man because he would whip us or he would, you know, I just thought that he was really kind of harsh at times. And as I grew up, though, and especially as I got looking back at my teenage years, my brother and I, and as I got thinking about having children and how to deal with children, I realized my dad had a lot of patience. And because we did things that tried patience at times. And the same thing about us, that we sometimes have to try God's patience. We read about the children of Israel in the Old Testament, about them grumbling and complaining, about them going after other gods and God warning them. And you just think about how patient God was with them. Well, here we find Ephesians 3 verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of God of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And as we read that thing about, you know, when talking about the width and length and depth and height, to understand the full extent of God's love for us, of Christ's love for us, there's a lot of patience involved there for each one of us. And then also, you're thinking about the fact of the kingdom. A kingdom being established that will never be destroyed. It's not going to be conquered by another nation. It's not going to be overcome. It'll be delivered back up to God when Christ comes back. And so that kingdom, we can be thankful for that avenue of prayer. The very fact we can talk to God in prayer, that He wants to hear from us, that He tells us to talk to Him in prayer. And many times we have faithful situations where we don't know how we're going to deal with life, and we go to God in prayer. Or maybe the idea, again, of godly families. You have a husband, wife that's godly. You have children that you bring up and you see them serving God. You have grandparents, siblings, and sometimes with our siblings, you know, they kind of drive us crazy while we're growing up. But then as you grow up and you get to look at them, you realize they're your best friends. And those kind of things. So you just kind of look at that. And grandparents you have for a short time period, but our church family. And that is our brother, sister, Christ. That we come together with and we can pray together with and we can laugh together. We worship together with and we get to share each other's lives. Those are some of the things that you stop thinking about. Those will be on that list as far as blessings. And so those are some requirements being blessed. We never forget how blessed we truly are that God has done so much for us. I appreciate your kind attention. And we have a song, and I'll go ahead and 287, that's Fountain Free. And that's our time to encourage anybody here that's not a Christian to maybe think about their soul, that if we can aid you in your obedience to God, if you want to talk about the Bible or need to study some more, let us know. Or if you want to obey the gospel, understand what that means, be baptized for remission of your sins. This is a way of letting us know. Why don't you come, if that's your need this morning, as we stand, as we sing.